Hello everyone, welcome back. So if you're new to me, I'm Shua Legrau, the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach your full potential, and live fulfilling lives. And we've been talking about resilience. Everything we do here at Grace and Hope Consulting revolves around resilience. And you know, everything we've been talking about in previous years are always been around resilience, although even when we don't call it a resilience chat. But I've been inviting new and old friends to come and kind of discuss, you know, add to the conversation and bring value. So today I have a new friend, Dr. Katie Nall, and I'm going to have her introduce herself. Just let us know a little bit who you are and what you do.
First of all, Shu, thank you so much for inviting me and for this incredibly important podcast that you have. Resilience is critical to our survival today, so thank you for that. My name is Katie Nall. I'm a Florida mathematician who shows others how to dissolve their waffles, dissolve their worries, anxiety, fear, frustration, lethargy, exhaustion, and stress. I'm a two-time TEDx speaker, and I run masterminds to show people how to grow into abundance and prosperity with grace and hope. So thank you for the invite.
I love it. Love it. So nice to meet you. So I have to just ask, you know, I'm not a scientist. Numbers are not my favorite thing, right? So that I do the other thing. I thought, well, those are like the softer stuff, right? I can be there and, you know, do my counseling, do the coaching and speak and, you know, and do workshops and, you know, consult the people who, you know, want things, emotions. And I'm just curious how you kind of transition, or what was the switch from going for, you know, math? Like, you know, I really sucked at math the whole life. You know, I can do basic math, I can balance my checkbooks and, you know, do accounting for my business, but that's about it. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, how did you go from being a mathematician to doing what you do and doing, you know, kind of the softer skills per se, you know, and all the very important, very and very needed and, you know, people's, you know, resilience. But it just like, the first thing that comes to mind, those are two different things, you know. And you went from numbers to emotions, you know, to stress and, you know, worries.
That's a good question, Shu. And it all started way back then when I was 18 years old. When I was 18 years old, I wrote down five things that I wanted to accomplish by the time I was 25. I had heard someplace that if you write things down, you have a much greater chance of accomplishing them. So the number one thing on my list was that I was going to earn my PhD by the time I was 25. Mm. Now, Shu, I had no idea what a PhD was.
Or the work involved into it.
Exactly. Or how much work it was. I had just seen that when I looked around at other people's lifestyles, it seemed like they had more education than our family had. So I was like, okay, well, if education's the key, what's the top I can get? And it's a PhD. By the time I was 25, I did not have my PhD. I did have three children in 6 years, and I had been married for 5 years, which none of that was on my list.
That just happened, right?
It was not on my list. Turned out my husband had a list, and I didn't know about it. But by the time my youngest child was 25, and I was much older, I was in my mid-50s, and I found myself working at a college where PhDs have value. And so I went to my supervisor and my husband, my family, and I said, hey, what do you think? Should I go ahead and get my PhD? And they're like, as long as you don't bother me, that's fine. So that's what I did. My camera's moving on me. I'm sorry. And it thinks I'm over there and I'm not. Here we go. There we go. And so what happened is I went back to school and I got my PhD in mathematics education.
Wow.
What
is where you think like, no, this, I don't want to do anything that hard at that point.
Well, actually, it was really exciting for me. I really loved it. And like I said, I was working at a college, so I had so many students who came in and they said, I have one class left to graduate. I'm like, that's great. Let's get you registered. I was an administrator at the college at that time. And so I'm like, let's get you registered. Let's get you started. And they said, oh no. And I could see they would get flushed. They would start the water that they had on their hands from sweating could water my plants. They were getting physically ill. I said, what's going on? They said, it's math. And I said, that's great. You saved the best for last. Oh, shit. That's not how they were thinking.
That's not how I will be thinking either, Katie. Not at all.
I wanted to help these students overcome their fear and anxiety about math. So I did a lot of research saying, how do you overcome fear and anxiety about math? And you know what I found, Shu? Nothing. There was nothing out there. But I recognized it as a word problem. and as a word problem.
Group of petitions, yeah.
What you do is you find out what's relevant. And what was relevant is how do you get rid of fear and anxiety in general? So it was actually in 2010 that in that February, that month, I signed up for Nick Ortner's free tapping summit. And they had 10 days. I watched all 10 days. They talked about finances. They talked about relationships. They talked about addictions. Nobody was talking about math or test anxiety. I had no idea if it was going to work or not, but I bought the book. I bought the DVD. I went out there and I had a room full of students who were petrified. And I said, look, I have no idea if this is going to work or not, but let's try it. Well, shoot, one by one, they started coming back and saying, I think I'm passing my math class. Well, I had no idea who was more surprised, them or me, right? Because I didn't know if it was going to work. So I thought, if this is going to work, I need to get some training because I have no idea what I'm doing. As it turned out, when I got the training, I had no idea what I was doing. But I got trained in level one, level two, level three, trauma, quantum, that's a whole nother thing, picture tapping, and now I'm a mentor and a, there we go, my camera keeps having fun here. There we go, I got to get it in its eye and move it over. I'll stop moving so much, I'm sorry. And now I'm a trainer and a mentor, and my goal was to become a trainer because I just felt like this was so important. I wanted to train others doing it. For comparison, it took me 4 years working full time to get my PhD in math education. It took me 8 years to become a master trainer working full time.
Wow. Oh, that is such an amazing story. And wow. And I'm thinking by myself, I used to have test anxiety, especially for math. I could do all the other subjects just fine, but for math. And I think about my children, how, math has been a challenge. And wow. I wish there were other teachers in the past where I were like, you know what, you know, I love math and I see my students struggling. I need to go learn the strategy to help them go through this. Who knew, right? Tapping would be the key. And I do what I love about your story. It's not just that, you know, you went and went back to school, you know, in your mid-50s, but you saw a way to you saw a way to help out others. You know, for me, it was not just one more degree. Yes, education was important, but it was okay, how can I use this degree to continue making a difference? And you reinvented yourself when most people were still like, I want to settle down. I want to, like, you know, do what I want now and just be done with it. You know, I don't want to be adding more things to my plate. But you didn't let everything else that, you know, not even the lack of resources available to what you're doing, you didn't even let that stop you. You know, talk about resilience, right? And then through that, for you learning, you know, and then not just doing the 4 years for your PhD, but doing 8 years to be a trainer in this industry for tapping to this field, so you can continue training others to do it. Like, you literally, what I say often, like those of us who are trainers, like myself, it's like we multiply ourselves in the way we train, right? It's like, it's not cloning who we are per se, but it will multiply more people who can do it, who can touch more lives. It's that the ripple effect is like amazing. I can have one session with someone, you know, which is good, impacts a life, and they will, you know, can impact your relationship, you know, at work, at home, you know, in business. But when you're doing the training in a room full of people, the ripple effect of that, just, you cannot quantify, you know. It's so that it's amazing. Wow.
You're so right.
And so with that, you know, this is just the thing that I can pull off, you know, as far as resilience concerned. But now I want you to talk a little bit about my speaker technology. See, now it's my headphone dropped off my ears. So I would like you to talk a little bit about just how tapping, like, with, no, I'm not a trainer in that, you know, I know very little, but the little that I know makes a difference. Like, it works for me. I do with my kids, I do with my clients. And I have a colleague, you know, who works with me, and when we do trainings for corporate and, you know, some professional development, and see, that's one of the things that she actually teaches people also as coping strategy for stress, you know. And so I wanted to just want to talk a little bit of what, you know, what tapping is, right? Let's go into that and how that can help, you know, with relieving stress and, you know, how can that can be a tool for us as we seek and pursue resilience.
So Shu, thank you, first of all, for helping to promote tapping. I'm so excited that you're using, especially in corporate. I've done some corporate speaking just because I'm a professional member of National Speakers Association, mm-hmm. and I love, you know, doing that and also the training. And what it can do, what tapping can do, first of all, let me say what it is. It is a somatic method of reducing stress. And by that, I mean, it works on the body and words, a psychological thing, to move you from a sympathetic nervous system, which is your stress, your fight, flight, freeze, or fawn system, mm-hmm. to a parasympathetic, which is your rest and digest, which means that your body is actually working. When you're in a stressed position, your cortisol levels are up, your adrenal levels are up, your thyroid levels are up, and you can't think. If you want to have a more productive and more effective work environment, and have that grace, have that hope that you can do that when you move into a parasympathetic system. Tapping itself is really pretty easy, but I have to tell you, Chu, I am so glad that I have so many different versions of tapping that I have learned. I've had people come in, because usually when you do tapping, you have to ask a lot of questions, you get very specific, and it gets very individual. The fact that I know picture tapping has allowed people to come in and say, I'm overwhelmed. And when you have a client that comes in and says, I'm overwhelmed, well, they can't tell you any one specific thing. So picture tapping allows you to address the overwhelm. And then I have people who come in with mysterious ailments, and I'd be glad to tell you some stories if you want.
Definitely.
And the quantum tapping, which is a little bit out there, but it's past life and healing past life things, that has been very, very helpful with a number of my clients. Tapping itself is very simple. You start on the side of your hand between your wrist and your little finger, and you tap right there while repeating three sentences. And then you tap on the top of your head. And I'm going to come in for a close-up, so I'm going to scare you a little bit. it's above your nose on the edge of your eyebrow. And then on the side of your eye between your eye and your hairline. And then the next place is where I keep all my bags for a quick getaway, and that's under my eye. And then... And then under your nose, above your lip, then under your lip, above your chin. And then I have my clients tap on their collarbone. And then about 4 inches below your arm, you tap on your ribs. Now I've added another little thing where I just have my clients put their hands on their shoulders and rub down to their elbows, which is part of the, what's called a haverling. So it's actually another soothing kind of thing. And then blow it all out like a cartoon character. So it looks like this. So it kind of takes some of the pressure out of it. And the whole time we're doing it, we are doing something that our culture has told us not to do. And that is repeating negative statements. And the reason why this is important, Shu, is that I've been taught my entire life the power of positivity, you know, positive thinking. And the problem is, just because we're thinking positively all the time, that doesn't mean we're not having negative emotions. And so what ends up happening is we have these negative emotions and they end up getting stuffed down. And it actually goes into our body. I'm also a Qigong instructor, so I know that it goes into our joints, and the tapping clears that energy out and allows you to have more room for the positive thinking. So that's a very brief explanation of tapping. And what I just showed you is what's called the short round. There's many other, there's the gamut points and many other things that you can do in tapping to increase your grace, increase your hope, and strengthen your resilience so that you can be at the most effective person that you are.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. And what I love about tapping, just how simple it is, right? I can be, in the middle of, you know, a challenging day and just stop and do it for 5 minutes and feel a difference, right? And you can do it at your desk, you know, you can do it as you're getting out of bed, especially, oh my goodness, today's going to be, it's going to be a long, you know, a long day. I was just thinking how, for me, for example, today, like you were recording me on the Sunday, I have these federal, you know, stuff, no documents, grants that I have to review and, you know, and submit by tomorrow. I'm like, there goes my weekend, right? So as you're talking, I'm like, I did not tap on that yet. Just, I need a lot of time for that. And can I just release, you know, some of the overwhelming, you know, and I'll be fine. I'll get over it. I'll get through it, I should say. Yeah. And it is, thank you for just, you know, for sharing that.
Yeah. Would you like to do a round for you and your audience?
Oh, definitely. Let's go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions, and this is the general, simple version. But Shu, if you had something that created your waffle, your worry, anxiety, fear, frustration, lethargy, exhaustion, or stress, what would it be?
I think these grants that I have to review by Monday. So all the documentation involved. So it's a lot of work, something that I love to do and, you know, be able to contribute that way, add value, but it's a lot of work and it's, you know, and it's very tedious. Yeah.
So all the work that you have to do on Monday. Mm-hmm. And when you think about all the work that you have to do on Monday, what emotion does it bring up? What negative emotion does it bring up?
Overwhelm.
Overwhelm. Mm-hmm. And from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, where do you feel that overwhelm in your body?
I think the most like my chest and then my belly a little bit. Yeah.
Chest and belly. Okay. And from 0 to 10, where 0 is like, no big deal. I've done this before. I can do this. And 10 is the most overwhelm you felt in your entire life. What number would you give it?
I'll say probably right in the middle, like a 5.
A 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. And is this a true statement right here, right now? I feel safe.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you to repeat some words as I ask you to repeat them. If I say something and you think, you know what, Katie, that's not really true, would you repeat it in your own words in a phrase that might feel more comfortable? Okay. So let's get started. Yes. I'm going to lead you along for it. So you and your audience, on the side of your hand, you're going to tap and say, even though, when I think about that work I have to do on Monday, I feel this overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
I feel this overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Right here, right now, I feel safe.
Right now, right here, I feel safe.
Even though. Just thinking about that work on Monday. I feel all this overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
I feel all this overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Right here, right now, I feel safe.
Right now and right here, I feel safe.
Even though my chest and my stomach, even right now, are feeling overwhelmed.
Just thinking about the work I have to do on Monday.
Right here, right now, I feel safe.
Right here, right now, I feel safe.
Top of your head. You tap your top of your head and say, overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Above your nose, on the edge of your eyebrow, overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Side of the eye, overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Under your eye, overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Under the nose, overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Under the lips, overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
On your collarbone, overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Give your ribs a good thumping. Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Overwhelm in my chest and my stomach.
Put your hands on your shoulders and blow it out. If you have any water, then take a sip of water. The reason why the water is important, Shu, is that what we just did is something called piezoelectric, where tapping on individual cells creates an electrical impulse. Mm. And we know that electricity travels better in water. Mm. And so after tapping, you usually increase your water intake. So let me ask you, when you think about the work that you have to do on Monday from 0 to 10, the sense of overwhelm, how does it feel now?
Probably like a 2. And even the feeling on my chest is gone. Like even the 2, it's just a little bit of warmth in my belly still. But yeah, that the big difference from just like 3 minutes or 2 minutes of doing it. Yeah.
And if you do it a second time, you can get it down to 0.
Yeah, which I believe that, but yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. This is, it just, and again, so quick, so easy, so simple, but yet very, very effective. Very effective. Wow. And so I guess, and if you can just dig a little deeper with that, you know, you talk about there's so many ways, many types of tapping. The only tapping that I know of with this, you know, this one, like, you know, that's, you know, that the simple one, I guess now I'll call it. And you mentioned something about, I think you called, was it image or visual tapping?
I'm sorry. So there's picture tapping.
Picture tap, yeah.
Picture tapping. And that's really interesting. And it's really good for people who come in and say, I'm overwhelmed. And you say, what part overwhelms you? Because that's what you do in regular tapping is like, what part? And you get very specific. You know, if when you're one of my clients, I would have said, what part of doing the work, you know, you would have gotten really, really, they say the more specific, the more terrific.
Right.
But when you come in and say, I'm overwhelmed and you can't identify what it is, I give them a handful of markers and some blank paper. And they, I say, you know, here's the thing, draw how your feelings feel. Let the pen describe your feelings. So some of them draw very elaborate pictures, some of them scribble, some of them just draw a line or a box. So it's individual. And then we, what we do is we tap on the picture, which is really interesting. And the other thing that's interesting is sometimes I get a client and we work on something and we can't get it down any further. It gets stuck. And so we'll talk about, like, I had a chiropractor who came into my office one time and she was holding her back, which I thought was unusual for a chiropractor, but we did
quantum, well aligned, right?
right. And we did quantum tapping, and it was a long held pain that she'd had from a prior life. And we were able to clear it. And it's very interesting because I wasn't quite sure how to, like, process that information. until somebody pointed out to me that when my grandmother was pregnant with my mother, that my mother's had all her eggs that she was going to have the ability to have children with. So I had in the DNA that I had in my mother's egg, in my grandmother, I had experienced some of what my grandmother had during her pregnancy. And then when my mother was born, her egg, which was me, everything she experienced was in my DNA as well. So by the time I was born, the day I was born, I had all these other experiences in my DNA that when I was quite young may have made me respond to things that I didn't know. And so kind of releasing that through the quantum tapping has been very, very powerful.
And that is awesome. Cause like in the beginning, like, I'm pretty sure like people who listen were like, oh, prior life, that, you know, what are we talking about here? But as you explain it with the DNA thing, you know, it brings me, I put my trauma hat on, you know, I'm certified in trauma training, you know, and trauma counseling. And so I, the way you explain it, you know, to me, what that came to mind was epigenetics. It's the trauma in the genes. Right. And so, you know, in that DNA. And that's how, you know, people who never experienced, you know, certain things, and they're like, well, my mom, my grandma, great grandma experienced it, and they live and act as if they did. You know, trauma can live in generation of up to, can travel up to 7 generations without you doing anything. So there's nothing you did or did not do in order to get there. It just kind of happens, right? And even as we talk about the whole work on social justice and, you know, and all of that, this is why, you know, it's important, right? Because people who been, you know, people like me from African descent and minorities, we are dragging with our DNA, you know, all the pain of slavery without even acknowledging it, not being aware of it. You know,
exactly. And
so it's good to tap into those things, you know, from, you know, and prior generations, because it becomes part of your DNA and you need to restructure that DNA. And it starts, and we do a full lot of, you know, cognitive therapy. We do a lot of, you know, full, you know, rewiring the brain with new thoughts and new accepting and creating a new reality for yourself, redefining that, and, you know, and all, and taking more power back, you know, from what was happening before you even were here. But I love that we can also do that for tapping. I was never aware of that.
Yes.
So, oh my goodness, this is so cool. I love it. I love it. I so love that. That is awesome. Yeah. And the more I think about it too, I'm just, then I'm just going to be like, you know, go keep going. Like, I love this stuff. The more I think about it is that for trauma, you know, especially, you know, when trauma that's, you know, trauma gets trapped in the body, the whole, you know, so I love that tapping is a really good way to release, you know, kind of that and, you know, and move you from one pathway to another where it's not trapped in your body, you know, and you can get to the part you can be thinking more and breathing more and resting instead of being stressed and overwhelmed and being tense. You know, because when we're overwhelmed, no matter what you're going through, your body's going to start feeling tense. For me, when it's, you know, stress calm, it's laying in the back of my head, like if my neck starts feeling tight and I can't bend over, you know, or, you know, I'm going to turn, it's like it feels stiff, right? And some people, sometimes it's a back pain, right? And I have a friend actually who really weird, when she's stressed out, it's her left leg that just feels as heavy as, she's like, it's just like dead weight. I'm like, I never heard of anybody having that kind of symptom, you know, for stress, for example, per se. But that's how she's still identifying those things. So I think it's, you know, now I always recommend people, like when you feel in your body, we can talk about it. We can do a lot of things, you know, to rewire your pathways in your brain and do all the cognitive stuff. But it's good then to also do the somatic things to release that tension in your body. The massages are good. Tapping is, you know, even more effective and quicker, you know, and easy for you to do anywhere. And, you know, so this is so cool. So yeah, so cool. So when you're stressed out, you know, definitely be looking into tapping. So let us know, how can people connect with you? How can people take advantage of all these good strategies that you have to teach us?
Well, I'm a bit of a wordsmith, Shu. So my last name is Nall, N-A-L-L. So my name of my company is my last name with the word edge, E-D-G-E. So my website is knowledgecompany.com. N-A-L-L-E-D-G-E-C-O.com. And all of my offerings are under offerings. They can email me at hello@drnall.com. That's hello@drnall.com. Or they can call me. I'd love to talk to your audience. My phone number is area code 772-226-0167. And they can call and chat and we can find out what's going on.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for all that you do, all that you bring to this earth and how the way you know, making a difference in people's lives. But thank you also for just making time to do this and share this knowledge with us.
Thank you, Shu. I appreciate you.
Yeah, same here. I appreciate you as well. For everyone listening, you know, we'll put the link here to a website. Go there, click, you know, take advantage of what she has to offer and, you know, do it for you, but also do for generations to come. So, you know, speaking of how just trauma and pain and stress gets trapped in the body and, you know, transferred through the DNA, we can start changing that by being well now so that future generations don't have to go through the same pain that we're enduring. So as always, be well. Thank you.